Only on Press TV.
Greetings and a warm welcome to another edition of Debate here on Press TV. We're coming to you live from our studios in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Good to have you with us. Now, between April 19th and May 31st, some 2,000 immigrant children got separated from their parents in the United States. Well, this is in line with the Trump administration's controversial policy on immigration. Rights groups, politicians from both parties, religious scholars, and of course the general public have all made comments in protest against the move. Let's first talk to our correspondent in Washington, D.C., Colin Campbell, and then we'll discuss the issue with our guests in this edition of Debate. Okay, let's go to Colin. Colin, tell us about the latest regarding the immigration issue and status in the United States.
Right now, pundits are saying this is really democracy at its worst, and that's because what they are looking at are children who are being used as political pawns in the game. What this means is when you look at Donald Trump's policy on immigration and how children are being separated from their parents, his administration is saying this is the law. This is what needs to be adhered to. And by all accounts, he does have a point. There are laws in place that do facilitate the separation of families from their own children. However, it doesn't have to be like that. He at any time, or anyone from his administration, including the Attorney General, could put a stop to that. Are they using this loophole in the law to use these children as pawns, saying that they need to get Democrats to the table to provide funding for his border wall? Yes. If you were to look at this law that's in place in a very binary way, it does facilitate children being separated from their families, parents being put through some type of process to see whether or not they should be allowed asylum into the United States, and children should be put in a very carefully laid out and very carefully surveilled facility until those determinations are made. Yes, it could be looked at in that way, and they would be following the law in that way. Nothing they're doing is illegal, in other words. However, there could be a way that children could be kept as part of the family unit while this process is being rendered, and they could do that also in a very legal way. What is most disturbing for many people is the way that this law is being implemented, the way that it is being carried out, where children are taken away from their parents. Sometimes, in many cases, these are children. These are kids that could be months old, they could be teenagers, and they're separated, not knowing when they're going to be reunited with their family. The Trump administration is saying that Democrats are the ones to blame for this separation, that they need to come to the table, that they need to create a law that would allow families to stay together, but allow for more border security. Funding, in other words, funding that border wall that Trump has talked about since before he started campaigning as president of the United States. Democrats, of course, don't agree with this, so the president is putting all the blame on Democrats. But mind you, in charge of the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, it's all conservative. Republicans rule Congress right now. Republicans rule the White House. So really, it's in the Republicans' hands to reinterpret this law, create new policy, and actually stop this separation, what some are calling and fascist, the separation between children and their family.
All right, thank you for that. That was Colin Campbell, our correspondent, joining us live from Washington. Now, let's start debating. Let me first introduce our guests. We have Margaret Kimberly, U.S. civil rights activist, joining me from New York. We also have Frederick Peterson, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, joining us from Boston. Thank you to both of you for joining us here on the show. Now, my first question is for Margaret Kimberly. Now, President Trump used to blame the Democrats for immigrants' issues in the United States on several occasions. Once he blamed the Democrats for, and I'm quoting Mr. Trump's direct quotation, forcing that law on our nation. Now, what makes President Trump, now that he is President Trump, to adopt such a hard line and on immigrants, Margaret?
Well, he always had a hard line against immigrants. It's one of the reasons he won. When he was campaigning for the presidency, he made it clear that he was going to cut back on immigration. He made many comments, negative comments, particularly about immigrants from Mexico, referring to them as rapists and murderers, and saying that he was going to build a bigger border wall between the two countries. And I say bigger because there's already a wall. There are already hundreds of miles of wall on the border between the two countries. So this is something he has always believed. It's something he campaigned on. It's something his supporters want him to do. So he is, in fact, following up on what he said he was going to do all along. But there's lots of controversy about how to implement these proposals that he wants. And he is part of the problem. He gave very mixed messages in just a little over 24 hours, saying he would or wouldn't sign a compromise bill to let the so-called Dreamers, those young people who were brought here as children, even though they were undocumented, whether he would allow them to stay. So his inclination is to stop immigration, to severely curtail it. But he blames Democrats. It's just a matter of political deflection. This is what he wants to do.
Okay, let's also ask our other guest, Frederick Peterson. Frederick, please also let's have your comments on this, and especially regarding the fact that President Trump's wife is also an immigrant. The United States of America is a melting pot of immigrants. Go ahead, please.
Well, yes, it is. The United States is a nation that is an amalgamation of people from every corner of the world, north, south, east, west, hemispheres have gathered together seeking the American dream, and that is of life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness in an environment of freedom. That is what is the attraction to come to the United States. We must note that there are no walls preventing people from leaving the United States. People are trying to get in. But a wall is that Donald Trump has proposed, and your other guest alluded to walls already being in place on the southern border. That is really quite inaccurate. There are stretches where deck plating from expeditionary runways have been put up, erected about 10, 12 feet high during the day, and at night you find trap doors that are carved in them from the other side, not by people trying to get out, but by people trying to get in. What is needed is a will before you can have a wall or any other effect, a will to affect the territorial security and integrity of the country, and to regulate a process of liberty where you can actually know who is attempting to come in, and there is an orderly process for that acquisition of the American dream by those millions upon millions around the world that would take advantage of it if they could. So what we have is a situation where we do not have secure borders. We have a 2,000-mile border on the south of the United States that is routinely, frequently, just you can waltz across day or night, and there is very little observation. That is not securing the country, because anything can come across the border. We have illegal drugs. We have narcotics that are poisoning our youth and our society. We have human trafficking, all sorts of crime that is coming across that border. There needs to be a regulation. And again, once again, we are seeking to do that in the most humane and rational progress of a system of legal migration and immigration into the United States That requires regulation, and that is what the Trump administration is reaching for, a reasonable, rational regulation of acquisition of the American dream. People have waited in line for year upon year, 5 years, to do things the right way, and you should not be able simply to waltz across the border under the moonlight and cut the line and cut off the rights of those who have observed our laws and attempted to acquire the American dream the right way.
Okay, now, speaking of immigration problem, you see that the children actually are falling victim mostly and taking the brunt with this 2,000 just recently children that got separated from their parents. Now, there have been different reactions. UN Rights Office, for example, said that the practice amounts to, quote, arbitrary and unlawful interference in family life. They also say it's a serious violation of children's rights. Now, my question is to Margaret Kimberly, please. How can this be justified?
Well, it's completely unjustifiable. In the past, even when families came to the United States undocumented, they were kept together. There were detention centers for families. Now, I happen to be opposed to those as well. What we need is a more open border. It's obvious that people want to come here, yes, but it's obvious that there are jobs for them. It's obvious that there are places for them to live. People are fleeing poverty, fleeing warfare, and obviously they are going to come to a country where they have a better chance at having safety and security in their lives. So we need to re-examine the entire premise of immigration enforcement. If the border were more open, you would have people coming temporarily, particularly men, to come and work and go back and forth to their homes. These enforcement actions actually increase the number of people who enter the country illegally. So I think we need to have a closer examination of the premise upon which this immigration enforcement is based. People have ways to live here, and that means this idea that we have to stop people from coming in is just ridiculous. There, the country is big enough, there are enough jobs, there's enough room for everyone. The country needs to do more for its own citizens, and I think that's one of the things that causes hostility. If the country were more generous and took care of the human needs of everyone, I don't believe there would be as much opposition to immigration as we have. Americans need to have a human right to housing, to health care, to education, to living wage jobs. And if we had a system which provided those things for everyone, I don't think that those people who are angry about immigration, I think they would be in a significant minority.
All right, Frederick Peterson, looks like you have a smiling face. Looks like that she agrees with your point of view, right?
Well, I think that we do have common areas of agreement here, but I would say that the reason why people are trying to the legitimate refugees, legitimate migratory peoples who are seeking to come to the United States is not seeking free stuff, free this, free that, free anything. They're seeking freedom. They are seeking freedom, an opportunity, the best of them, the ones that we desire to have here, the ones that are adopting and seeking and reaching up to the American dream are seeking freedom, not free stuff. And these are the people that make good citizens. These are people that make good Americans. These are people that make a prosperous society, but there must be an orderly process to acquire that, to effect that process. There must be an orderly procedure, and that is why we have immigration rules and regulations. There have been a very inflammatory pictures that have come out recently of children in cells, they have been called, sleeping on mattresses on the floor. How horrible this is. But they neglect to note that all of those pictures that have been flooding the airwaves and used as propaganda exploiting these very people were taken more than 8 years ago. They were taken, more than 4 years ago in the middle of the Obama administration. So these procedures need to be orderly. They need to be humane. I'm sure your other guest would agree on that. They need to be effective. And there also has to be a procedure where people wait in line, in turn. We can respond to dire needs that people have that are truly fleeing oppressive regimes or criminal regimes and attempting to come to the United States. That's always been part of our immigration policy, but we need to have a policy. We need to enforce the policy that we have, and it has to be effective. We have none of the three, have had none of the three for a number of years. We're attempting to cope with a vast number of people trying to get in to take advantage of America. I hope your other guest would become a part of the process to develop an orderly procedure that accommodates our security needs and the fairness to those who have waited in line for so long to come to the United States. And there are only so many in the world that any country in the world can absorb without inherently unsettling the very stability of that country. Okay. So there has to be a procedure. Let's work together to develop a humane procedure that is effective,
right,
and timely.
Okay, let's get back to the main topic of our discussion tonight, and that the children, separation of families, children from their parents, which is something that religious scholars have also raised their voices against. Well, the funny thing is Jeff Sessions has gone to the defense of the policy, citing Bible. And then we have the Council of Bishops that, quoting them, they have said that this is deep misunderstanding of transforming the truth of the scripture. A U.S. Cardinal also has said that separating babies from mothers is immoral. Now, Margaret, how can the Trump administration disregard religious precepts and teachings? I mean, they're adamant simply to just push this ahead.
Yes, well, many of their policies are immoral. People like Sessions will cherry pick from the Bible. Anybody can use the Bible to defend anything. You can go through the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, the Gospels, and find some language that defends what you want. But overall, if you're talking about Christianity, which Sessions claims to be a Christian, Jesus spoke of helping the poor, helping the stranger, visiting those who are in prison. So it's just absurd. And the scriptures he chose, by the way, were used to justify slavery, which was the first way that children were separated from families in this country. I think we have to say that Trump is not uniquely evil in this regard. Chattel slavery, which existed for over 200 years, families were routinely separated. And I think we also have to talk about the fact that this country was stolen from other people. Indigenous people owned this land. And the colonial settlers stole it from other people. So, no one asked Native Americans, no one asked indigenous people how many Europeans they wanted to allow in their country. They just did what they wanted and came anyway. So I think we also have to acknowledge that and not pretend that there was ever a process that was fair. This country wouldn't exist at all if that were true. So yes, it needs to be an orderly process, but it needs to be changed. And as far as the people who've been waiting in line and waiting for years, well, let them in. I think that the country can absorb many more people than it has. There's too much reaction to immigration and not enough thought and planning. I think many more people can immigrate to this country. Their needs can be met. The needs of, as I said before, American citizens need to be met. If we had a more humane country overall, we would have less of a problem. And I also want to say that other countries struggle with poverty and war because of U.S. foreign policy. The U.S. has policies which make people poor, which make them desperate, and make them want to come to this country. So if we had a more humane foreign policy, if we allowed other countries self-determination, if we didn't make wars against them, if we didn't have trade deals that impoverished people, they wouldn't need to come here. So that is something else that we need to address, the foreign policy positions that create so much havoc that people want to come here instead of stay in their homes.
All right, let's ask Frederick. He was shaking his head in disagreement. Frederick, and Margaret said that many more people can come. I don't think that's possible under this administration. Let's have your comments.
I hardly know where to begin with that expansive diatribe and, I mean, beyond profoundly, absurdly dismissive of history, of really intelligent dialogue on an examination of what is really happening. I'm sure that Margaret is aware that the North American and South American continents were the product, what she calls indigenous people. They weren't born here. They didn't live here. There were waves of migration, three distinct waves of migration over millennia coming here, distinctly different peoples ethnically that settled in different parts of the country, and then the Europeans came here as well. Some lived in teepees, some live in cities, in grand cities. To somehow say that there's an equivalency here is historically absurd. It's almost laughable.
All right,
but
Frederick,
it's used as a tool. The Trump
yes.
policy was inherited. It is not a Trump policy. It is law that is currently on the books and needs to be reviewed. Donald Trump has called for this review. That's what we're engaged in now.
Okay.
Engaged in a policy and law that was given to the Trump administration, not designed by
okay.
it.
Frederick,
we need is
running out of time.
Design for a new policy.
All right, thank you for that. Frederick, we're running
thank
out of time. Margaret, let's have your final words. You have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, to say that European migration is comparable to the migrations that took place over a millennium is just it's just insulting. It was an invasion. It was a genocide. But I do have to get back to our topic. It is true, the Obama administration, Obama deported many people. The Democrats are not honest about their role in this. And many of these photos of kids in cages and sleeping on floors are from the Obama administration. But that just tells you how many years of failure we've had because we do not have a humane policy about immigration. All of American immigration law needs to be torn up root and branch, and we need to start over again and talk about how we can help people who want to come here and how we can help American citizens have a better life as well,
okay.
so that they don't resent newcomers so much.
All right, thank you very much. I should thank Margaret Kimberly, U.S. civil rights activist joining me from New York, and also Frederick Peterson, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor from Boston. Thank you for both for joining us here in debate, and also thank you to viewers for staying with us. And that's it. Goodbye for me.